Hello.
Y'all awake? Somewhat. Well, you are. Morning prequel. Okay, I need a secretary for the first part, so let's volunteer for my secretary. Sam? So, who here thinks prayer is important? Okay, that's good, because you're here. Who thinks their prayer life is where you want it to be? Now, like, you're probably like me. Yes, the first one, to the second one. So why is that? Why don't we pray more? Why don't we pray more? And this is... What are some common excuses? And this is what I can't wait to write down. Just write small. Common excuses for why we don't pray more stuff.
We don't have time.
That's the common one. What else? We forget. You can just put like time or forget or whatever. What else? I came up with like 30, so... Don't feel like it? Yeah. Don't know what to say? Good.
Feel like you have to stop what you're doing?
Yeah. Feel like you stop what you're doing? Okay.
Don't know how much.
Don't what?
Don't know how many times.
Don't know how many times? What else? Don't know how long to? Yeah. Good, good. Yes.
Feeling like you want to ask more than you want to be thankful for.
Okay. Good, good. Feel like ask more than you think for. What else? Anything else?
You don't know what to ask.
Don't know what to ask? Good. Andy went over several last night, about three. Don't know what to ask. Don't know if I'm worth listening, you know, him, God, heaven, earth is worth listening to me. Yeah. So you feel kind of guilty, I guess, going to get to him and ask him for something. Good. Anything else? Okay. I want you to think of someone that you love a lot. Who do you love more than anyone? And you don't have to say it. Just get that person in mind. You can go say, take Sam. Spiritual points for Sam. Okay, I want you to think of someone that you love a lot, the person you love most in the world. Your mom, your dad, your best friend, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever. What do you think of them? Okay, let's say that they got a really bad disease, cancer or something. And the doctor came in and you were with them and says, got bad news. Your friend, your loved one has cancer. And they're going to die within 2 weeks if they don't get help. Good news is a new drug just came out. It's 99% that it works and it cures of all cancer. But it costs $100,000. Now, I'm pretty sure none of you have $100,000 in your bank account. Would any of these excuses keep you from doing whatever possible to help a friend? Now, I just forgot. I don't have time to really help you out. I'm not feeling it. I don't know what to say. I don't want to stop what I'm doing. I don't really want to ask you more. Don't know what to ask. I don't know how to get the money. I'm not in that place spiritually to really help you right now. Do any of those like excuses, would that stop you from like going to every bank, working as hard as you can to try to help that person overcome the cancer? Would any of those? Why?
Because
it's important. Because you see that you need it. You need it desperately. Your friend needs it desperately. And I think that's why I don't pray enough. We don't pray enough. It's because we don't see that we need it. It's not important. And so when we look at what is the purpose of prayer, first and foremost, we need to see that we need it in our life. And we need it in all purposes in our lives, and we need it in all areas of our lives. So I want to present this question to you. Now that we establish that, what is the purpose of prayer? What are some purposes of prayer? There are many. What do you ask for in prayer? Like, what types of things do you ask for?
Wisdom.
So, what did you say? Good health. Okay, good. So you're asking him for stuff, for his attributes and his healing. Good. What else?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Good. Confessing your sins. Strength. Again, going back to getting his attributes. Good. Do you ever thank him? Adore him? That kind of stuff? So that applies to prayer. Maybe strength in our temptations or fights spiritually. Not just like, you know, wisdom or strength in this earth, but all spiritual strength. I wrote down five purposes that I think that are great for prayer. And so I would like to go over those with you. And the first one is to fight our temptation. To fight temptation, to fight the spiritual battles, to get the strength that we need for the spiritual battles. Do you know the story of Achilles? He was a great warrior. No man could stand in his way. He swept aside enemies at every side. Until one day, there's two versions of it. One, that he had a great armor that was impenetrable, except for a little slit where he had to move his ankle down there. And a soldier shot a poison dart and hit him in that one vulnerable place, and he died from it. Or there's a great prophecy, this is the other version, that Achilles would die young. So his mom dipped him in the Styx River. And his whole body was impenetrable, except for that one ankle where she held him to dip him in. And a soldier hit it with that poison arrow and killed him. We're in a battle. We're facing a battle every day. Against an enemy that we can't see. And we need to make sure our armor is impenetrable. In Ephesians chapter 6, we look at the different armor that we have. The sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace. And we look at all those things. This is kind of an introduction for next week when we talk about VBS. Come back next week for that. But we look at those things, but we don't always focus in what is after that. In verse 18 of chapter 6, after listing all those things, it says, praying at all times in spirit with all prayer and supplication, to end keep alert and perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. See, prayer completes our whole armor. So if you're waking up in the morning and you're saying, I'm going to do better today. I'm going to fight this temptation. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to withhold it and chain it up so it doesn't take control of me. But by every night, you're looking back over your day and you're like, I messed up there. I lost my temper there. I wasn't nice there. I disobeyed my parents. I wasn't honorable to them there. I could have been really kind and encouraging here, but I wasn't. And you're like, what happened? Maybe look at your prayer life. How are you doing your prayer life? If you go back and look at verse 12 of chapter 6, it shows that we can't defeat this battle on our own. Our enemy's too strong. And if you're trying to do it by yourself, you'll lose every time. Because verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We don't struggle against man. If it was just a man, false teachers, or bad neighbor, then I would get, you know, Sam and Kelly and go take them out and be done with that. But it's not against physical flesh and blood that we struggle with. We struggled with spirits, against rulers and authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. That's kind of like scary stuff. We can't fight them. We can't even see them, much less fight them. But we have a God who can, and a God who can win. Prayer plugs us in, connects us with the only being in the entire universe, this entire world, that can defeat these spiritual beings, these evil powers. And if we are connected, we can stay strong against the tempter, the devil. And we can overcome temptation if we are connected. I can honestly say that while I've been praying, I can never recall me sinning, ever. While I was in praying to God, the Lord, and laying my heart out, I can never think of one time that I've sinned while I was doing that. It's because I was connected with Him. My thoughts were above and not of this thing of this world. And I've never heard, maybe it's out there, but I've never heard of anyone who is truly connected to God, who had a dynamic prayer life, who fell away. I've never heard of one. Because while you're connected with the Lord, you can get overcome all kinds of temptation, all kinds of trials, all kinds of things in this world. If we want to overcome temptation in the world, in our world, in our lives, we need to connect with the only power that's out there that is able to defeat them. And we do that through prayer, which is a wonderful thing that He's provided for our lives. So the first purpose of prayer is to help us overcome temptation. The second is to establish a relationship, to build a relationship. And this one kind of affected me because I grew up in the church. Probably a lot of you did the same. And so I just kind of thought, you know, prayer is just one of those checklist things, just get done, you know, whatever, did my prayer at my meals and before I went to bed, did that, read my Bible, went to church, I'm good. Prayer is so much more than that. It's to build a relationship. And you can't build a relationship unless you actually talk to the person, imagine, you know. Have you ever tried to build a relationship that was a one-way conversation? Either they talked non-stop and you could not get a word in edgewise, and you're just like, yep, Did you like feel any closer to that person whatsoever? Just them talking about everything. Or what if you try to build a relationship, you try to like find that person. And you're like, how's your day? Good. How's work? Good. How's your family? Good. Well, okay. it's hard to build that relationship with someone if you don't talk. And so what we can learn from that is that communication needs to go both ways. Prayer life is not what it should be unless we study our Bible and we do that. We can't constantly be talking and never listening. But that's not what I'm going to focus on, because Bible study is maybe for the next youth lectureship. I want to focus on the prayer. Because a lot of times we read our Bible, we study the Bible, we do what we're supposed to do here, but we never talk to God. And it becomes a one-way relationship. Can I have some volunteers to read? I need 7 of them, so I need a lot of readers. Okay. Sam, can you read Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2? Cade, can you read Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13? Psalm 130, 5 through 6. Psalm 145, 18 through 19. Danny can read Proverbs 8, verse 17. I need 2 more. Can I read Isaiah 26, verse 9? And I need 1 more. Jacob, I'll get you on the next one. Lamentations 3, verse 25. And just read them back to back to back. Go ahead, Sam.
As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
12 through 13.
Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I can hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, yes, more than those who watch for the morning.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call upon him.
Yes.
My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, then heaven for the world are righteousness.
The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul who seeks him.
Okay. What do all those have in common? You can tell. It's a common word in there, or a synonym of that word, at least. What is yours again, Jacob?
The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks
him. Okay. And what is yours again?
My soul yearns for you.
All right. You see, commons, desire for him. And if you desire him, you know, good things will happen. You will draw close to him. And prayer is not just seeking it. You can't seek someone if you're just, like, doing it half-heartedly, just doing it repetitiously. Have you ever, like, prayed this prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything you've given me today. I thank you for this food. Please bless our bodies with it and forgive us of our sins. Thank you for this great day. In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, I've probably heard that prayer a million times. I've probably said it half those times. We just go through this thing in our head, and we don't actually connect with God. What if you did that to your friend? What if you were like... Who's your best friend's name?
Jordan.
Jordan? Okay. What if you're like, dear Jordan, thank you, Jordan, for being my friend. Jordan, I love you so much, Jordan. Jordan, forgive me for my sins against you, Jordan. Goodbye, Jordan. And that's all that you ever said to him, over and over and over again. Do you think you would have a good friendship? And yet we do that the same thing with God a lot of times. We say the exact same thing. At least I'm very guilty of this. Say the exact same thing during our prayers when we pray for the food. And when we go to bed tonight, and usually we are drifting off to sleep before we even say amen. And we need to have, if we want to build a relationship, we got to put effort into it like we would our friends. Because he is our friend. He wants to be there with us. And what if you only talk to your mom, wife, mom, and the only time you ever did was ask for something or to thank her for the food? How do you think your relationship would be? How do you think she would feel? She would feel like, well, you're just using me. You're just trying to get things out of me. You don't want a relationship with me. If we want to build a relationship, we got to treat it like a friendship. But it's not just a friendship. It's a friendship and a relationship with God. He's all in. He sent his son to die so that we could have this relationship with him. He's all in. And we need to give him at least the courtesy. At least the courtesy of trying to build a relationship with him and putting effort on our side. How's your relationship with the checkout clerk at, say, Walmart, Target? How's your relationship? You know, good. Do you talk about, like, deep things that are happening in your life? Do you talk about, you know, does he help you or she help you through your struggles in your life? You just pour your heart out to him. No. Why is that? Response. Why don't you have those deep conversations? Why don't you pour out yourself to him? Why doesn't he help you through those hard times in your life? You don't know him well enough. You don't talk to him. You don't spend time with him. But what about your best friend? What about that person that you really love most than anyone? Do you pour your heart out to them sometimes? Do they help you get through some things? Girl problems, boy problems, parent problems, whatever. They help you get through those times? Why? Why? Is it maybe because you built a relationship with them? You spent time with them. You've been through hard times, and then you talk about it. Yeah, a lot of times we just do a little thank you. We say, you know, thank you for this, thank you for that. Have a superficial relationship with God. You will never be close to God. He will never be there when you need him. You won't have a relationship with him for him to help you. You will never be the one to pick you up. If you treat him like the shopping clerk at Walmart, and you only say hello, thank you, goodbye, thanks for giving me what I need. I'm guilty of this than anyone. I chose this subject because I needed help with this subject more than anyone. Because that's what I've done all my life. Just thank you for this item. Thank you for this item. Thank you for this thing. And I never really built a relationship with them. We need to long to have a relationship like the passages we read, the psalmist that we read. You never see the psalmist, you never see David just say, you know, thank you, have a good night. Forgives our sins, just simple things like that. He's pouring out his heart. He's trying to have a relationship, and he longs to have that relationship. And when it's not there, when he's sinned, and that relationship and that relationship has been separated, he's just torn up because of it. We need to have that relationship with God, and your life will change because of it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So the first is to help with temptation. Second is to build a relationship. And third is to thank and adore him. Why does he tell us to thank him? Why does it tell us to adore him? Why does the Bible give us those examples? Is it because God is an egotistical God that needs people to praise him and thank him all the time? Why is it that he commanded him to us to thank him, to adore him? He's given us so much. So is it for God or for us? Well, yeah. But, I mean, God has, like, billions of angels. You got legions of angels up there that sing praises to him constantly. I think he wants us to thank him and to adore him because of, for us, and to draw us closer. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. But I think it also, not only that, which is a really good point, but also I think us thanking him and adoring him also brings us closer together. Have you ever had a best friend that did something to, like, surprise you in a good way? Like, brought you, like, coffee or something at work? Or just did something really nice that you didn't expect? How did that make you feel? Did your relationship become closer, or did it, pull away? I had something like this happen to me. Y'all know David Clough, right? Most of you probably do from camp. He's one of the camp friends. He's like my best friend. One time, this is the beginning of our friendship. Not the beginning, but towards the beginning. He knew that I really liked this girl. And he went out shopping with her and saw that she really liked this type of, I don't know, lotion perfume thing. And, like, she really wanted to buy it, but she decided not to. You know what he did? He bought it, and then he could have used it, gave it to the girl, bought out, made himself look good, and that friendship. But he gave it to me and said, hey, I know you like this girl. She really likes this. And so, here, use this and try to build a relationship that way, or try to get some good brownie points with her. It didn't work out, so. But the thing is that's, it made me draw closer to David. I was like, David, you're so great. And we became closer as friends because of that act. God is constantly doing things for us. He's constantly doing things that we haven't even thought of yet. And when we take the time to thank him and take time in our prayers to adore him and thank him, it opens up new possibilities of what he's doing for us. And when we do that, we like draw closer and we're like, God, I can't believe you're doing that for me. I can't believe you're doing that for me every day, and I haven't even thought of that. And what does that do? That draws us closer to him. It causes us to be more intimate with him because we're taking time to recognize what he is doing in our lives and thanking him for it and adoring him for it. If you look at Psalm 66 is a good representation of this. Listen to the words, starting in verse 1. Shout for the joy to the God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come clinging to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our Lord, O peoples. Let the sound of his praises be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver as tried is tried. You have brought us into the net. You have laid a crashing burden on our backs. You let the men ride over our heads. You went through the fire, through the water. Yet you have brought us out of the place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offering. I will perform my vows to you, which my lips uttered, and my mouth promised I in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings of fattened animals, with smoke and sacrificed rams. I will offer of bulls and goats. Come and hear all who fear God. I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, the high praises on my tongue. If I cherished iniquity in my heart, my Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. The psalmist here is just pouring out soul. He's telling God, like, you've been there for me. Look at what you've done to my life. Look at all the hard things that has happened to my life, and you brought me through that. And you listened to my prayer. If I had iniquity, you wouldn't listen to me. But you've listened to me, even in my hard times. It says, bless the Lord, for he listens to me. And the psalmist was to tell everyone about this Lord. Because he's thankful. He's adoring his God. He's taken time to make that as part of his life, part of his prayer life. So the third thing is to thank and adore him. So first was to fight temptations. Second is to build a relationship. Third is to thank him and adore him. The fourth, it's a way to give our worries and cares to God. Have you ever been stressed in your life? I think that's a big resounding yes. Is there anything that in your life that you felt powerless to do? This happened recently. If you weren't part of this church, a family came up here because their son was battling a rare cancer disease. And my soul cried out for them. I want to do like so much, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical field. I can't cure their son of cancer. I can't do that. I'm powerless in that way. There's nothing I can do in that regard. But I could pray. I can turn to the most powerful person in the world and give him my cares and my concerns, and he'll take them. And it's not just the things that we pray for other people, but just anxiety in our own life. Things in our life that bog us down, this test that's coming up. I got to speak to a bunch of young people coming up. Whatever it is in our life. We just offer up our cares and our worries to God, and he takes them away. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, First Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. He cares for us. He cares for each one of us. And if we are willing to cast our anxieties on, to care for him, then he will comfort us. And he will take everything back. And you remember back in Matthew chapter 6, God says, don't worry about the food and clothes above you, or food and clothes. And you look at the grass and the birds and see how they're fed and clothed, and God takes care of them. How much more will he take care of you? And so if we just cast our stress and anxieties upon him, he can take that away, and that frees us and that lifts us up more than we should. So four is to give our cares and burdens to him. And then finally, God listens to our supplications. God listens to our wants, our desires in life. And really, this is probably the most amazing point of them all. God, the Creator, He made you and everything around us. He made the heavens, earth. He's been alive longer than anything else on the face of the earth. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. We can't even comprehend how glorious and holy and powerful He is. And yet He listens to you. Someone who's basically just dirt that He's breathed into. Who is here for a short speck of time. Who fades away. But He wants to have a relationship with you, and He listens to you. You can find this in the Bible all over. Think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was just a cupbearer to the king. He wanted to build a wall around Jerusalem. He wanted to do that. He was sorrowful that it hadn't been done before. But what was he? He was just a cupbearer to the king. He wasn't even in the same country. He wasn't a mason. He wasn't a builder. He was just a cupbearer. What could he do? So he prayed. He felt powerless. And God heard him. And God worked out things in his life so that he could build that wall. And constantly, Nehemiah was going to him in prayer and saying, you know, help me with this, help me with this, help me with this. And over, God listened to him and heard him. In chapter 1, he prayed. Chapter 2, he prayed. Chapter 3, he prayed. And God heard him each time, and he built the wall. Something that seems totally that out of his reach. If you think about Hannah and praying that she would have a son, praying that she'd have something, she had Samuel. God listened to that one woman and gave her a son. And think about how much was changed because one woman prayed. Samuel affects numerous people throughout his life. He is the last judge. He goes through he goes through Saul and everything he did. And he goes through David and points David as king. Think of how much changed because Samuel was alive. Think of how much changed because one woman prayed. I'm convinced that God's will could have been done 100,000 different ways, depending on the ways in which God's people prayed. If Hannah hadn't prayed, God would have raised up another man. But because she prayed, God worked through her. That's an amazing point. That God would work through us and use us and mold us into His will and shape us. And we have that same power that Hannah did, that Nehemiah did. We think, well, I'm not the great prophets of old. I'm not Nehemiah or Jeremiah or Isaiah. I'm not David. I'm not that. I'm just like Zach. I mean, what's that? But James chapter 5, we say that last night. It says that same power that was in Elijah who made it stop raining, who fire came down from heaven because he prayed, same Spirit's in you. He listens to you just as much as he listens to him. If we pray to him and if we follow his will. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. God is able to do far more abundantly. And not even that, far more abundantly than we can ever ask or we can ever even think. And so what does that tell us? It means that we should think really big in our lives. We should ask big. Because God is a mighty God. Our God is not a small God. He's a big God, a powerful God. If we ask big and we want to do His will and we conform to it, you'll be surprised at what He can do through your life. So if we ask big, if we want it, we ask Him to use us in His will. He'll do it. He listens to us, which is just an amazing thing. It's something that we should never grow old of or just dull of. So why should we pray? If he is the only one to help us in our temptations, He's the only one that can defeat the enemy. If that's the only way we can build a relationship with God, that's the only way through thanksgiving and adoration that we draw closer to God. If that's how we bring our cares and worries towards God, if that's how He hears us as just people on this earth that pass away, why don't we pray more? It's because we need it in our lives. Whether we know it or not, we need God in our lives. We need a relationship with Him. Because we can't do it on our own. We just can't. You may try it, but you'll fall. It's only through God, using the power cord of prayer, that we can make it through this life and come out on the other side. Will you pray with me? Dear most heavenly God, You are an awesome and great God. It is unfathomable how we just, people who just fade away, come and go, just specks of dust, that You would listen to us, that You would want a relationship with us. We are so humbled. Your glory and Your love so vast that You would send Your Son, God Himself, to die for us. It's something we can't imagine. You are so great. You're so awesome. Your greatness and Your holiness is shouted throughout the Bible. And in our daily lives, the creation screams it. And yet You listen to us. You want a relationship with us. And that just boggles our mind. Please be with us as we seek to grow our relationship with You. That we learn to exploit the blessing that You've given us, to use it to its full potential in prayer, in communication with You. Help us to grow in that area. Please be with all of us to create the habit of prayer in our lives. That we would never turn away, that we'd never fall short, that we never turn aside from Your awesome holiness and Your love for us. We pray that You'd be with this world, that it would see Your love one day, and that you would bring peace to this world. Because true peace only comes through You. We pray that You be with us as we go into the world and we try to live light. Help us to rely on You in every action that we take. All this through Your wonderful Son who died on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.